February 1942. Hey, hey, Peter Tork of the Monkees was born in Washington, D.C. The comedy film Ride 'Em Cowboy, starring Abbott and Costello, was released. And Superman travels to Africa, which shouldn't be problematic at all. We'll find out in the next issue of Action Comics.
Greetings, super friends, and welcome back to Reaction Comics. It's been a few weeks since you last heard from me. I kind of didn't give you any warning. I just disappeared for a few weeks, but there was a good reason why. There was probably one good reason why. I went away one weekend, so that kind of canceled that out. But then I had a lot of freelance work I was doing for some family, the same family I was visiting that first weekend. And it just kind of every Sunday would come around. And I thought, I don't have time to do this. I don't have time to do this, but I will do it over the long weekend. And then I got to the long weekend. I said, oh, goodness gracious, I didn't do it again. But fear not, Superman fans. I am back finally to talk about Action Comics number 45 from February 1942. Let's not waste any more time. Let's jump right in this. Looking at the cover, I like to look at the cover. This cover has, I don't think it has anything to do with the story that we're about to witness. But, you know, Superman's up in the corner. He got his own little logo up there. The world's largest selling comic magazine. It says DC. There's a little logo up in the top now. We knew that already, right? It's been DC for a while. I've been looking at these and you kind of get used to them and then you forget to say, hey, when did this show up? But it says a Superman publication because of course there is also the Superman comic that's going on at the same time now. I believe that it's going on at the same time as Action Comics. You think I'd research these things, but gosh darn it, I'm here just to talk about the comic in front of me. And what is that comic, you say? Well, what am I seeing in front of me? It's Superman. Looks like he's dealing with some local gangsters. There's three fellas. One guy's got a nice little, not a striped suit, but a checkered suit. He's got a gun in his hand, but he's running. He's running away from Superman. His hat's flying off. There's another guy who's really close to us, the viewer. The closest thing to, I guess the screen, you would say, or to the eye. He's running, completely panicked. I don't want to say he looks like Jerry Orbach, but I was just trying to think, who does he remind me of? And all of a sudden, I've gone to Jerry Orbach. But if you saw him, you wouldn't think that, I don't think. And of course, there's one unlucky soul who's dropping his gun as he's being picked up over Superman's head. And I assume he's going to be flung across the great city of Metropolis to his early death, I would assume. And we see a car in the background that I'm guessing Superman chased them down, ripped them right out. We got a nice little silhouette of the skyline of Metropolis in the background. It's actually a nice cover, but dare I say, I don't think it has anything to do with this episode, this issue. So let's jump right into it. And I have to say, this first screen that you see, if you're looking at this, if you've read this before, if you have the comic, if you're looking at it through an app, I use the DC Infinite Justice Unlimited Delta Plus. I don't know what I have. Whatever I have, it's the best DC one. I never had it when you could watch the DC shows on it. I only had it with the apps, with the comics. But you know what? I watch the shows anyway on Max. Don't we all? Okay. Enough of that. We're here to talk about Superman by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. Now, I want to first read, there's always a little box that kind of just gives you an introduction to the character. And then there's sometimes a picture in the background that a lot of the time has nothing to do. Sometimes it has something to do with the story. A lot of times it has nothing to do with the story. It's just Superman saving something or saving somebody. I would have to say, based on what I'm seeing, this really, if you're looking at it for the first time, you're thinking, this better have something to do with the story. But first, the text says, always quick to aid anyone in need, Superman finds someone in distress in, of all places, the city zoo, faced with a problem that would have baffled any other individual. The Mighty Man of Tomorrow solves the situation by once again making use of his tremendous powers. Yes, I guess in the long run, this story is about Superman saving a zoo, but it's also about saving a life. Now, the interesting thing is in the photo, or the photo, I mean, if this was a photo, in the drawing, Superman has what I can only describe as Noah's Ark. He's holding it over his head. He's jumping. He's not flying. He's jumping with Noah's Ark, with all these animals that I'm assuming are frightened to death hanging out the window. I don't know where they're going. I don't know where they're coming from. But we better find out. So that we see. But then we jump right into the story and we see Clark and Lois together. And seems like they have free time on their hands. Because Clark says, since White has been kind enough to give us the afternoon off, where do you suggest we go? And Lois says, the zoo. I haven't been there for years. And the next panel, they're at the zoo. It says, once they reach their destination, Lois is like, no one's about. Is this place closed? And Clark says, no, only deserted. The cages, most of them are empty.
What a zoo. Seems to have everything but animals.
But perhaps I can explain.
They look and there's this old timer there. He's got a big, giant mustache, not a Raleigh Fingers, but it's like, maybe I would say Captain Kangaroo, something like that. And he looks like it's green, but he almost looks like he could be a train conductor the way he's dressed. But he's not a train conductor. He's the zookeeper. So Clark's like, who are you? Oh, actually he says, and who are you? And he says, oh, the zookeeper. I don't know why he sounds like that, but for the purpose of today's episode, he does. And Lois says, well, it's nice to know that Clark and I aren't the only ones here after all. So I guess Lois is really being sarcastic right to him.
He says, yes, not many people come out to the zoo anymore. And why should they? There's not much to see.
Clark says, why don't you get more animals? He's like,
I've been trying to get the city council to purchase them for the zoo for years, but they won't listen to me. And the war in Europe is making it almost impossible.
Gosh darn it, that pesky World War II is making it so public funds can't be diverted to the local zoo. Clark says, that's too bad. And Lois says, it really is. Just think of what all the children in Metropolis are missing. Did it just not say there's a war going on? And maybe if you had private funding, donations, something like that. But, there's another guy there in a suit. And it seems like, he's calling over the zookeeper. He goes, come here, Charlie.
Oh, if you'll excuse me, that's a member of the city council.
As Charles and the, I guess his name is Charles. He didn't say Charlie. Come here, Charles. As Charles and the councilman walk off, Lois says, and Metropolis is supposed to be a modern, progressive city. If you ask me, no city is complete without an adequate zoo. I never really thought of it that way. But Clark, even though she's talking to him, Clark's attention is suddenly diverted, for his super-sensitive hearing has picked up on an interesting conversation. Bad news for you, Charles. You'll be fired at the end of the week. This is the councilman. That gets the councilman. The city runs the zoo. The councilman is now firing Charles.
He's like, fired, Mr. Morgan, after all these years?
I'm sorry for you, Charles, but the city council believes the zoo is a waste of money. Why, practically nobody comes here anymore.
Well, I can explain. It's only because there's nothing to see.
But if we had a bunch of unusual animals. But we haven't, and we can't afford to buy any. Too bad, Charles, and nothing can be done about it. Like, Charles, when Charles says, I can explain, you wouldn't expect him to say,
I can explain. You see, there's no animals here. Well, I mean, you don't have to explain it. I think we know this. But the guy says there's nothing that can be done about it. And Clark thinks, nothing? That remains to be seen. Later that day, Clark Kent transforms himself to a fighting champion of justice who is famous the world over. He is? I guess at this point he is.
He says, this definitely is a job for Superman.
Later, as the colorfully costumed figure streaks down from the sky towards the city zoo. So it's very weird because Superman's upside down. It looks like he's falling from a cliff, but he must have jumped up in the air. And now he's falling down. And oh, look at that. Charles is jumping off a cliff. Oh my God. He says, Charles, about to destroy himself. So this dude just got fired from the zoo, flings himself. There's one panel. He's just flung himself off a cliff. And Superman goes up and catches him. And Superman says, aren't you being hasty? He says, no, let me fall. And Superman says, you shouldn't have done that. That's a coward's way out. That seems a little dated, don't you think? Like, I'm wondering if that's the 1940s, you know, way of looking at suicide and, you know, not even taking into account, like, the idea of mental health wasn't a... I don't know if it was a big thing then, but I don't think it was looked at as it is, you know, in more modern times. I mean, Superman, he's supposed to be the kindest man in the world. Like, you shouldn't have done that. That's a coward's way out. It just seems a little insensitive, but again, remember, 1942. So Charles says, my job gone. The end of my life's work. There's nothing worth living for. His life's work was working in a zoo without animals. How long have there been no animals? But he's like, there's nothing worth living for. Clark says, oh my God, they double down. Suicide is the height of stupidity. I'm almost tempted not to help you. Jesus Christmas. I recognize you now. He didn't say Jesus Christmas, that's me. You're Superman. So Clark, I mean, I'm just going to say that's obviously Siegel and Schuster really putting their two cents in there. Well, all of this is really their opinion. But you could see, sometimes you're telling a story, sometimes you feel like you're seeing their opinions. That's how I'm seeing this here. He says, but what could you do for me? Plenty. Superman says, see that old abandoned ark you once used as an exhibit? Okay, well, that's where Noah's Ark came from. There's a full friggin' Noah's Ark at the zoo that is completely empty. They used it as an exhibit. I'm sure that wasn't abusive to animals at all. And you couldn't sell that to a movie or something. You couldn't, hell, chop it up and sell it for firewood, anything. But he's like, see that abandoned ark you once used as an exhibit? He picks it up and says, mind if I borrow it? And Charles says, gulp, go right ahead. Thanks. I'll return it soon. Meanwhile, promise me not to try anything foolish. So he threatens him. And the guy says, I won't. Out over the ocean springs the man of steel with his cumbersome burden. And he's basically, well, he's not over the ocean at this point. He must be heading to the ocean. And he's holding the ark over his head. And he's like, quite an armful. Dropping it into the sea, he swims at great speed, shoving the ancient vessel before him. I don't want to call it an ancient vessel. I'm almost positive this wasn't supposed to be Noah's actual ark. I feel like it was built probably in the 40s or the 30s for the exhibit. So I wouldn't call it an ancient vessel, guys. But okay. So he is, Superman is now in the water, pushing the ark as it swims over the ocean. And he says, if there's a quicker way to Africa, I haven't heard of it. So now we know. Superman is heading to Africa. Oh boy. The Man of Steel reaches the Dark Continent in record time. Jesus Christ. Excuse my language, but the Dark Continent, that again, something just doesn't, I don't know what we're about to see here, folks. But remember, this is the comic book that is reading, that I am reading, not me, and this is 1942. Upon reaching his destination, Superman sets his burden down within the jungle. Then, as shouts reach his ears,
He says, he's like walking through the jungle. The ark is in the background. He says, voices, I'll investigate. And on the next page, the man of tomorrow sights natives under command of a stern-faced white man closing in on an elephant herd. Oh, God. Okay. And he says, hunters. Now, he's calling them natives. Again, a little like, why don't you just say, like, Africans, local Africans. So, how do I explain how these natives are drawn? Well, I mean, they have, you know, brown skin, okay, but they're all drawn, you know, completely without any clothes except like a little loincloth. They're all bald. They all have spears. Again, this is, you know, we're getting to a, this is a pretty touchy situation. I'm not sure who is treated worse in this issue, animals or the native African community. But so there's a white guy there, and he is guiding these hunters and basically pointing at them to take down elephants. And now it seems like the elephants have turned on them. The herd of mighty pachyderms pivots and thunders down upon the hunting party. So the elephants are about to destroy all the hunters. And I have to tell you, if I'm going to pick a side, I'm picking the elephant side every time. So Superman in the next panel starts running. He says, now to play elephant boy. What the hell does that mean? I'm not sure. But he smashes into the side of one of the elephants and says, this is as far as you go. Superman shoves the elephant leader back against the remainder of the herd, bringing the stampede to a halt. And he actually says to the elephants, can't we talk this over? He's being sarcastic to these animals. But he stops the stampede, which I guess is a good thing, though they would have only been stampeding hunters. As the terrified elephants flee before the might of their strange opponent, Superman turns to the hunter. But the white man, I guess the white man's the hunter? I don't know what's going on here. He says, Superman turns to the hunter, but the white man urges the natives to attack the Man of Steel. Kill him. Kill him. This guy's got, you know, the old-fashioned safari hat on. He's pointing at Superman. Kill him. Kill, kill, kill. And we see, like, a bunch of men with spears and one guy picking up a spear about to huck it at Superman. As a shower of spears glands harmlessly off his impenetrable skin. Is this jungle gratitude? Superman says. You could see spears just bouncing off him, and the guys are like, oh my God. He says, I thought we could be friends, but if it's a scrap you want, I'll be the last to object. So he's about to beat up these local gentlemen, and he does. Racing in among the natives, Superman sends them flying helter-skelter with his fists of steel. This is what I call a pushover. So he starts punching the African men, and he gets to the white man. He says, and here's where I change the contour of your jaw. He's about to crack this guy's jaw, and the guy says, stop! I recognize you. You're Superman. So now he recognizes him. So this dude jumps in with a cape, wearing blue and red, and he's in the middle of the African jungle, and you're like, now you recognize that he's Superman? I wonder if this guy was just trying to kill Superman. I wonder. But Superman says, you heard of me? He says, you've heard of me? Yeah. And who are you? Forgive my rashness. I thought you might be some strange creature of the jungle. But now that I realize who you are, I see I've made a terrible mistake. Okay. So the guy is apologizing. He says, I'm Count von Hensel. Should I have an accent? I'm Count von Hensel. You have unwittingly trespassed on my jungle domain. But if you... I'm not doing an accent. But if you'd care to come to my headquarters, I shall offer you my hospitality. Superman's like, thanks. Thanks, Count. I'll be glad to accept. The dude was just hunting... See, again, I don't know if big game hunting was seen as anything but macho and cool and for the aristocrats. Like, you look at that now and I'd be like, this scumbag. But Superman's like, thanks. I get to go back to your headquarters? awesome. I'd be happy to accept. And mounting a tamed elephant with Von Hensel, Superman is led through the jungle. He says, I pride myself on being a hunter of extraordinary skill. What are you doing here in Africa?
Superman says, it's a long story. Minutes later, I guess he must have told this. He did, because the next panel is, and that's how it is. Hilarious. He goes, it's a long story. And literally the next panel is, and that's how it is. If I'm to be of any assistance to Charles, I've got to return with a cargo of wild animals. And before the week is over, the hunter says, perhaps I may be of some assistance. So it seems like Superman's plan to save a zoo in Metropolis is to steal animals from Africa and illegally import them overseas. That's what I feel like I'm getting at. That's what I feel like his plan is. And this hunter's like, hey, maybe I can help. So, okay, I guess we'll see. And they're walking back to his palatial estate, and Superman says, say, that's a rather elaborate layout to be found in the center of a jungle. And the guy says, I insist on all the comforts. It's going to be nice having you for a visitor. I'm all alone and haven't seen another white person in years.
Wow. Just wow. This guy's like, finally, another whitey to hang out with. And Superman goes, alone, huh? Now I don't know why he would say that. That seems like a very creepy thing to think. Alone, I wonder why, you know, what does that mean, Superman? Why are you worried about that? And why is this guy like, finally, like you could have had maybe some conversation with the people that you're working with instead of just making them go out and kill animals. I haven't seen another white person in years. My God. But the Man of Steel is puzzled. Okay. He says he's alone. And Superman's like, huh? Because his telescopic vision sights a pretty white girl. I'm not sure if she's pretty and white or if she's pretty white. She might be both. But she's staring down in fright from behind a heavily curtained window. So not only is there another person there, but there's another whitey. So they go inside, and he says to Superman, "You're no doubt you're puzzled by me handing you a glass of cool tea. I have my own refrigeration plan here." How interesting and useful, Superman says. Again, 1942, I guess the fact that in the middle of the jungle you can have a refrigerator, it's a pretty big deal. But then this woman shows up. That woman that was upstairs, she comes right downstairs. Von Hensel, I thought I told you to remain in your room. Superman says, you said you were all alone here. He says to the woman, I don't know if he takes her in the other room, but he says, you saw me come here with that unexpected visitor. You took this opportunity to burst in. Well, you wanted to speak to him. Why don't you? Oh, no, he's saying this in front of Superman. You wanted to speak to him. Why don't you? I'm sorry to have disobeyed you. I'll go back straight back to my room. After the girl departs, he says, look, I deeply regret this humiliating incident. I hesitated to mention to you that the only other white person here is my sister. Jesus Christ, that's what they say. She's a mental case, and you can understand why I prefer keeping her out of sight. Superman says, sorry, didn't mean to pry. Like, he's like, I'm not getting involved with you crazy white people. And you're hiding her up there? I don't know. No problem. That's what it seems like. I hope that's not what he actually feels. But he starts bringing Superman around his trophy room. He's like, this is my trophy room. And we see just the heads of dead animals. I see a wolf. I see a rhino, a gorilla, or a monkey, a beautiful giraffe, just dead. And Superman's like, a wide selection of ferocious animals, as well as hunting decorations and awards. You do take pride in your hunting. He doesn't seem to be bothered by this at all. And the guy's like, I know. I know just the spot where you'll be able to find a number of most unusual specimens. I'll be glad to have my men accompany you in the morning on the hunting expedition. Meanwhile, why don't you retire? And later, oh my goodness gracious, Superman is relaxing. He says, all the comforts of home. I certainly feel lucky to meet up with Count Von Hensel. And my friends, he is reading an issue of Action Comics with Superman on the cover. So What does that mean? That means, in this world, there is a company called Action Comics, or it could be DC Comics, and they're making a comic book called Action Comics based on the real Superman. That's what it has to be. That's what it has to be. And Superman's just reading it, chilling, no problem, not even thinking, oh, you know, it's that woman that was locked up in that room. He got yelled at. I don't care. I got a comic book. This is great. Meanwhile, downstairs, you know, could any of the African, like, could any of them be given clothes? The guy's holding this long knife, shirtless, and he says, now? And the white hunter guy says, not yet, Maubi. You will have ample opportunity tomorrow. So it seems like he wants his hunters to still kill Superman. Then all of a sudden, it's nighttime. A shadow flits along the hallway and enters the man of tomorrow's room. Now, he didn't bring pajamas. So he can be completely, he doesn't have to put glasses on because he showed up as Superman. So it's better if he doesn't. But he's in shadow too. He's like, who is it? And it's that woman. She's like, I haven't much time. I've come to warn you. He says, warn me? Against what? Superman's having the best time of his life. He's like, warn me against what? You're in dreadful danger. And then, Von Schnitzel, whatever the hell his name is, comes out. He's like, disobeying me again? He yells at her. How many times have I told you not to leave your room? And she says, I won't do it again. I promise. I promise. He's grabbing her by the shoulder and ushering her away. Comes back to Superman. Again, I must apologize, but I can assure you that my sister will annoy you no longer. I'll see to that. Superman says, please, don't be harsh with the unfortunate girl. He hears a girl as a mental case. He just like assumes that's the truth. He's like, oh, it's so unfortunate. You know why? I believe it because a man told me, a white man. So I guess nothing happens. The next morning, Superman sets off with his expedition. The dude says, good hunting. Sorry, I can't accompany you at this time. Superman says, I'll be back soon and with animals for several zoos. So he's not only, you know, he's pretty confident. He's a little cocky, too. And we see a bunch of, like, the guy, his men, all, you know, just dressed in friggin' loincloths, carrying sticks with the supplies over their shoulder, carrying cages, boxes over their head. I mean, oh my God. So we cut upstairs, and that woman says, he's gone. Our last hope. There's a dude. Another dude? So now we got three white people here? He says, Von Hensel is a devil. There's no use opposing him. This dude is, he's lying in bed. He looks sickly. He looks emaciated. And he looks weak. He's like, there's no use opposing him. Okay, I don't know where we go because we jump back to Superman out with the locals, I will call them. How much further to go? And one of them says, not far now. Down there in valley. Devil animals. Jeez, they all talk. Down there in valley. Devil animals. My God. And then Superman says, then let's get going. The party descends the precarious side of a cliff. So they are now walking on, they have all their equipment too. On this little ledge of this little cliff, they're walking along. Superman says, pretty steep. But out of nowhere, one of the guys says, now. Unnoticed by the man of tomorrow, two natives steal forward from behind in an attempt to hurl him below. I mean, he would have just landed. You know, he wouldn't have flown. He would have fallen, but he would have landed fine. But they attempt to hurl him below, but as they do, a ferocious striped figure hurtles towards them. Tiger! So this tiger comes over the cliff in like some sort of cave, swipes down at them. Meanwhile, Superman has no idea that these guys were going to kill him. So he's like, duck! Springing over the frightened natives, Superman meets the animal in a head-on collision. Smashes the you know, innocent tiger, who is just probably protecting his family. Whoa! And round and round, Superman spins the howling cat. Cool off, he grabs the cat by the tail and starts spinning it around. You know, grab the tiger by the tail, spinning it. You know, definitely animal abuse here. And then throws him into one of the cages. He'll behave now. Let's continue. As they reach the valley, the two of the guys in the back are talking to each other. He's like, a splendid opportunity, gone. The other one says, but there will be others. As the hunting expedition advances, suddenly it comes across a strange assortment of jungle creatures. Devil animals. And Superman says, I've certainly seen nothing like them before. And I have to tell you, based on what I'm looking at in the first picture, nobody has. These don't appeal to be real animals. One almost looks like a hippo with a horn, like a unicorn. Are these like old dinosaurs? I don't know what we're looking at here. But the frightened natives turn to retreat, only to discover they're completely surrounded. We'll all die. And Superman says, pessimistic, aren't you? I don't know what these animals are. They're crazy. One has one horn, one has two horns. So as the jungle animals close in, Superman streaks toward them, an unleashed lightning bolt. He says, no time to stand idly by. Round the great circle he runs, snatching up the animals as he goes, hurling them over his shoulder, one after the other, into your places. He's throwing them into... these are definitely not, like, actually, these are made-up animals, creatures. They look like dinosaurs meeting... It looks like a small dinosaur with webbed feet. I don't even know what to explain, but Superman is stealing them all, throwing them into cages. They tumble into these open cages. Then, along the line of cages... speed Superman slamming shut all the cages, and he says, neatly trapped, if I must say so myself. And they're like, he's captured them all. A miracle. Sorry to cut the expedition short, but we've already captured a sufficient number of variety of animals. Suppose we return now? So I guess Superman has cleaned out the jungle enough, separated animal families, just maybe even destroyed some species. But I think he's good. He's going to call it a day. And one of them gives Superman a drink. He says, yes, but first, drink to the victory of the hunt. No sooner does Superman drink the cup's contents than he keels over to lie motionless on the ground. And one of the men says, witness the power of the potion. Is he? Later, the expedition returns to Von Hensel's jungle retreat. You've attended to him? And Superman, two guys are carrying a stretcher. Superman is laying on that stretcher like out of it. He's not dead, but he's out of it. And one of the guys, the guy, he has like a turban on his head. I don't know if that makes him the head of them. I have no idea. But he says he is completely helpless. The witch potion affected even Superman. The witch potion? Do we have witches? Or is this supposed to be like a witchcraft? This is like a very... deeply racist thing where they're saying, oh, the Africans, they have witchcraft. But at the same time, I think of witch and magic. And of course, any good Superman fan knows that Superman has a weakness to magic. It's not just kryptonite, ladies and gentlemen. It's not just kryptonite. But I am 1,000% certain that has nothing to do with what we're seeing right now. Oh, and remember when he said before, here's some cool tea. I have a refrigeration plant here myself. Oh, it's coming into play because the Superman is placed within a great transparent refrigerator. Von Hensel steps up to the controls. So he puts Superman in this giant refrigerator that for some reason has a bed inside, like a long slab. Seems almost like something a morgue should have. And he says, when I finish with him, he'll be a permanent state of suspended animation. Or he'll be in a permanent state. Again, why did this guy do this at all? Like, what did Superman do to deserve this? Excuse me as I move around. What did Superman do to deserve this this fate? The guy's like, oh, my sister, she's nutty. He's like, Superman's like, oh, it's fine. I don't care. This is great. I love staying here. Oh, you have comic books and iced tea? This is wonderful. I mean... The funny thing is, I'm drinking an iced tea right now and reading a comic book, so I am basically no better than Superman. I look like... That sounded probably disgusting, but that was me drinking an iced tea. And now, Superman is frozen in this refrigerator for, again, I don't know why. He didn't threaten the guy. Maybe because Superman would have finally figured out there's something going on with his sister, but he seemed pretty oblivious. you know, just a few minutes ago. So later, Superman, what is going on here? Okay, he's in a permanent state of suspended animation. Oh, interesting. He's not frozen. He's just in a suspended state of animation. So he can come out of the freezer and still be frozen, because now we have the woman who he said was his sister. And didn't he say it was my sister? And the guy who was sick in bed, now they're up. And apparently this guy is her brother. This is a little weird, because she's like, why have you ordered us here? You know my brother is too critically wounded to be moved. He says, I wanted you to witness the latest addition to my collection. And it looks like there's two animals, and we just see the back of Superman looking at them, completely frozen, unable to move. She says, the costume stranger, you've destroyed him. Yes, as I must now destroy both you and your brother. When you and he stumbled onto my home, you thought you had found refuge after being lost in the jungle. But you didn't know of my consuming desire to hunt unusual prey. So he's really explaining things to us. Apparently he likes to hunt exotic, unusual animals. And if anyone gets near him, he feels threatened enough to destroy them. Now, get in there and be transformed into imperishable statues, or I'll shoot you down. So he's got a gun. He's putting them in the freezer to turn them into statues somehow. Don't overthink it. The science seems pretty sound, if you ask me. And she says, you fiend. And yeah, I would say he's a fiend, all right. Superman has been aware of what is occurring, though helpless to act. So he's not only is he frozen, but it's like he's frozen. He's like in a waking coma almost. Like he can't move at all. He's helpless to act. Now, though, he's gathering all his strength for a gigantic effort. Or maybe he's not completely helpless, because he's thinking to himself, got to free myself. I don't know why he thinks like he's the Tin Man needing oil, but that's how it sounded in my brain. A terrific strain at first, but an apparently losing battle. Then Superman moves. Literally. Okay. He says, I've got to get free. The next thing I see, if you're just looking at the panel, is just yellow text, and it says, it was a terrific strain at first, and apparently losing battle. Then Superman moves. He just explains it. They don't show Superman moving, but he's just frozen on one panel. This panel says he's not frozen anymore. Tells us, we see him frozen. We're told he's not frozen. And in the next panel, the guy's like, you live! And Superman says, one moment from now, I may not be able to say the same for you. So Superman threatens to kill this guy. Now look, this guy's a bad apple, but Superman is really just ready to kill him. In his anxiety, though, in the anxiety of to escape, Von Hensel backs away. He says, keep away. And Superman says, not until I give you the beating you deserve. But instead, the cruel hunter trips and falls into the refrigerator. Yeah. Superman says, look out. I don't know why you could fall in and all of a sudden become frozen. But it seems like that's what happens, because dashing into the sub-zero cold of the unusual mechanism, Superman drags forth Von Hensel's body. He's as stiff as a board, destroyed by his own fiendish machine. Wait here an instant. So he leaves the body there, and he races out of the building, raising aloft the cages, one atop the other, and races them towards the Ark. Time to travel. So wait a minute. This guy threatens to kill him. Really just freezes them, and he unfreezes himself because he's freaking Superman, and he falls into his own creation, his own machine, dies, and Superman's like, man, he died. Okay, I'll be right back. So he leaves, take all the animals back to the Ark. Time to travel. But returning to the building, he snatches up the girl and her brother. I don't think we ever got a name. She says, what? And he's jumping away, holding each of them in one of his arms. He says, I've got to take you and your brother to where he can receive medical treatment. So above the jungle streaks the man of tomorrow, holding the Ark and his human passengers overhead. He says, civilization. So they get to a civilized city pretty quickly, but they're still in Africa. It says, depositing Von Hensel's former captives before a hospital, Superman springs off, and you see this little dot holding this arc as the arc flies away. And the woman's like, "What a wonderful man." And the brother says, "We owe him our lives." We don't see them anymore. Because really, what's this all about? It's not about a man with a freezer. It's not about big game hunting or exotic animals being stolen from Africa. It's about saving Charles's job. Back across the ocean swims Superman with a loaded arc. America, here I come. There's some huge waves, but he seems to be doing okay, pushing the arc back towards America. And at Metropolis, at the meeting of the city council, it just so happens that the meeting of the city council is happening right now. And of course, what is the city council there to vote on? The zoo, the biggest thing in Metropolis. And Charles is there pleading his case. He's like, "But gentlemen," oh, I'm sorry, this is Charles. "But gentlemen, please. Sorry, Charles, but we've no alternative. We must insist you be fired." "Then I guess there's nothing more for me to say. But I had hoped." And they're like, "Wait, what's all that cheering? Let's see," because of course the city council. All dudes, all with brown suits, all with their hair greased back. Of course that's the city council who don't seem to care about the zoo, the animals, the children. They just care about the bottom line. So they look out and say, "Let's see." And in the next panel, Superman has the arc over his head. Animals hanging about, again, frightened. He's just holding it with one hand. And he says, "On to the zoo! Everyone, follow me!" And there are hundreds of people in the streets just following Superman to the zoo. Charles is like, it's Superman. Then he didn't let me down. I mean, how long was he gone? One night? And one of the councilmen's like, "I'm going to see what this is all about." Later, at the zoo, the place is jammed. "I always knew a modern zoo is what Metropolis needed. I insist you retain your position." "I'll be glad to." So, of course, the place is jammed. There's animals everywhere. Everyone's happy. I don't know who if they paid. I don't know how they got in, but they're there. And now the city council is taking all the credit. "Oh, this is exactly what you needed, a modern zoo." So I like that little thing where they're kind of showing their hypocrisy. They say, "I owe it all to you." And Superman's jumping overhead. And city council are looking up, and Superman says, "Think nothing of it." Back at the Daily Planet, Superman reverts back to his identity as Clark Kent. Now to rush this yarn into print. And in the last panel of our story, Lois says, "Fine thing. I'm the one who suggests we go to the zoo and you get a story out of it." And Clark says, "I'll make it up to you, Lois. I'll take you to the zoo." The end. Oh, what a tale. Now, aren't there regulations to animals in a zoo? You'd think maybe in the 40s there weren't. It's like, "Oh, we got an animal. Don't ask." But I feel like if you were to have so many animals, especially now, they're going to be like, "What is this species?" Like, all of a sudden, Superman discovered these species that never existed. And like, you'd think they'd study them, they'd take them away. There's a lot of repercussions. This story is the beginning of just years and years of bureaucratic red tape. You know it, but it'll never, ever, ever be mentioned again in the world of Superman. And I hope, I hope over the years we see a little more cultural sensitivity going forward. Again, this is 81 years ago. So I'll be interested to see over the years and over different writers how the tone of not even the tone of Superman, like being more maybe sympathetic, but the tone of how people are treated. Now, mind you, we're in the middle of a World War II while this is going on. So I can only imagine what other cultural insensitivities we're going to be running into. But again, at the time, that's how it was done. This stuff wouldn't fly today. But I'm reading stuff from 81 years ago. So please, take that into consideration when you realize how absurd some of this stuff is. And this was absurd, showing these, you know, they call them the natives, and they're just running around with spears. I mean, it was like, it was definitely written by two guys who have no idea what they're talking about and just going over, just going from stories that they've probably been told and read from, you know, from other than other racist, you know, caricatures, and just be like, oh, well, this is how it is over there. At least that's my thinking, you know, when in truth, you probably should be like, you know what? Let's have him go someplace else, or just not run into, you know, any quote unquote natives, as you say. But again, that's also kind of what I like about reading these books, is seeing these holy crapoli moments that really date the stories and make them feel very specific of their time, which, again, part of the fun. That's part of the fun of reading all these old books. It's taking a character who I love today and love the modern version of it today and looking at his beginnings and realizing not everything was so super about the old Superman. Oh, baby, that was a perfect pun. And with that, my friends, we are done with Action Comics number 45. Now, I hope to be back on a more regular schedule again, but again, Sunday night. Sean, my brother, who, hello, you're listening to this. We're gonna be going out. We're going to see a rock and roll show, so I don't think we'll be having a show again on Sunday evening. But, I mean, look, this show's coming out Tuesday night. So as long as it gets to you and you can share it with all your friends, your family, some of your enemies, maybe just some people you barely know, just stop them on the street and say, well, show them your phone and just be like, look, you got to listen to this and you got to check this out. And then once you get bailed out of prison, you know, you can go back to listening to the podcast again. I think that's what it really comes down to is you listening. And I appreciate the fact that you do. It means so much to me to see that people are actually finding the show and listening to the show, especially after I took so much time off between, you know, the last episode, which was well over a year ago, and then picking it back up again this summer. But I love this stuff, and it pains me that it took me so long to get back into the groove. But I will be back again next week. So until then, you can find me on Twitter, on Instagram, on Threads, on what's it called? On Mastodon.social at Geek Mentality. That's where I live. That's where you can find everything. But the show does have its own Instagram and Threads. I believe it has a Threads. It definitely has an Instagram, Reaction Comics. But everything can be found at the old website, fansnotexperts.com. Every episode of Reaction Comics and every episode of every other podcast I do. In fact, right now, we're doing this Mandalorian Man presents the Ahsoka Ashoka, where I'm covering every episode of Ahsoka. I don't like that they come out at 9 o'clock at night on Tuesdays because I'm tired. I'm an old man at this point. I'm an old young boy. That didn't sound right, but I'm tired. But guess what? There's a new episode. It started 5 minutes ago. So I'm going to get off right now, get this saved, then jump over, watch that, and then do another podcast tonight. So I got to have an extra, is there any caffeine in this iced tea? I hope so, because I'm going to need it. So my friends, I want to thank you all for listening. Thank you all for subscribing. And until next time, I want to say next week, but until next time, remember, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Get it? Goodbye, super friends. Goodbye. Why am I waving at my kitchen table by myself? But I certainly am. That's not made up. I'm still doing it for some reason. Fans Not Experts.